Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ag Chat, a podcast brought to you by the Association of Women in Agriculture at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This is May, and last time you heard us, we talked a little bit about COVID while we've been in college, but today we have a little bit more of an exciting topic, and we're going to spend this episode focusing on kind of the side hustles and things that we've been able to do as a creative outlet while we've been in college.
Hey everyone, I'm Kenzie. I'm from Shawano, Wisconsin. I'm studying animal sciences and French at UW-Madison. And my connection to agriculture is I just grew up with horses, but then got involved in 4-H and FFA and really got a passion for it.
Hey everyone, I'm Jaden. I'm from Whitewater, Wisconsin. I'm a junior here studying psychology and criminal justice, along with agricultural business management. The way I got involved into agriculture was through my family's dairy business and starting off real young into 4-H and FFA.
Yeah, and this is Liv. I'm still here, but you got to know me a little bit if you listened to the last episode, so we're just going to get right into all of it today. So we have a lot to talk about. All of us kind of have our own little niches that we like to use as a fun outlet to get outside of campus. And I guess, does anyone want to go right off the bat and start and tell us a little bit about what your side hustle is?
Sure, I can start. So I guess I have a few. I like to dog walk for people around Madison. I have like a small photography business at home, and then I also do digital art and do commissions with that. I do it hopefully every week and just kind of get some extra cash on the side. There's different apps you can do for dog walking specifically. I know Jaden also is involved in dog walking and probably a lot more than I am. So I don't know if you want to touch more on it.
Yeah, I'll touch more on it, especially since I got Kenzie into dog walking, suggested how great of an idea it was. So I started off last year right at the prime time of COVID in 2021 when everyone else was online. And I had nothing to do except for sitting in my room, so I decided to go out and start dog walking since I have never had a dog and I've always wanted a dog. And I thought the best idea was to get started on Wag or Rover, and I eventually got Kenzie into it.
I love that idea. I mean, I've got a couple pups of my own at home. I have a corgi and a chocolate lab. They're farm dogs, though, so we don't necessarily take them on walks all the time, but I definitely do miss my dogs in the city and can understand how much of probably a really great stress reliever going and walking dogs is. And also like a really great way to just make a little extra money on the side. I know I touched a little bit about what I do on the last episode, but just to kind of refresh, I actually started kind of my side hustle, my main side hustle, this last year, kind of in the early spring. And then into the summer. So I kind of work in a variety of different things. I wouldn't say that I necessarily have one specific route that I take, and that's mainly how I make my money. But I do a lot of things surrounding photography and graphic design and also social media marketing management, all kind of under one bubble of my LLC. So I specialize in livestock and portrait photography. And then my other side hustle is also managing social media for a lady out of Wisconsin that is working on her real estate investment kind of portfolio and building a community of young women entrepreneurs. So that actually is really cool for me to be able to work on. I love that project a lot because it's been super great to meet other young entrepreneurs, and not something that you necessarily get a ton of exposure to here on campus. I know all of us here have side hustles, but that entrepreneurial mindset is something that's relatively new to most people, especially on a college campus. Most of us are in that mindset that after college, kind of this game plan for you where you go out into industry and you get a job, you work there, you kind of climb that corporate ladder, or you move to new jobs throughout. And that's kind of how you you set your life up. You work the 9-to-5, maybe travel for work, but it's kind of cool to see now the shift in our generation. I don't know what you guys think about this, but I really feel like there's been a strong shift towards that entrepreneurial mindset, especially among us over the last couple of years. And I think it's because of COVID. It had a lot to do with it.
I definitely agree. I think something about our generation is when we get into these little side hustles, we find something we like to do and we keep going with it. And that often can lead to almost a better career path than maybe just sticking to school and doing everything as the books say. I will say something I've struggled with, and maybe you have too, Liv, but we have all these hobbies, and that especially flourished over COVID when we had nothing else to do. And then we just thought of how can we make this productive and how can we make money off of it? And sometimes it's hard to differentiate between work and hobbies then. But I think it's nice to kind of make that extra money with something you like doing. So, you know, I love animals. I love walking dogs. I love art. I love photography. And kind of just doing that for other people and getting some extra money is really nice.
I think it's so funny you've said that, because that is something that my mom always laughs at me about, is I can't just have a hobby. It has to be like a business, a job. It has to some way be productive. I can't, you know, just do things for fun. And that, I very much relate to that, because it's, you know, it's interesting to see when you kind of get into this mindset of you're in college and you have all these opportunities to be involved in internships or actually have jobs where you're working either remotely or in person for someone else. But then to be able to kind of take this little outlet you have and then turn that into an avenue for you to pursue your own kind of career path that way. It's funny how easily you're tempted to dedicate more time to your side hustle than your real, like, I guess you can call it your main hustle. I fall into that so often and so easily. And you guys probably do too. I mean, if I was walking dogs and could walk dogs like 6 hours a day, I probably would, to be honest. I am such a huge dog person and think that it's like the greatest idea ever, because people are busy. And so if there's a need in the market there and you're able to fulfill that and do it because you love it, like, it's a win-win.
I definitely think, like, especially I would consider myself a professional dog caretaker now, considering how much I do and how much I make, considering that I'm now only onto one family, probably the rest of my little side hustle career. I liked dog walking, going back into a hobby and being something I enjoy instead of simply making money off of it. During COVID, when I had the flexibility, like Liv was saying, of taking 6 hours to walk dogs instead of doing 6 hours of homework, I probably needed to do the opposite. So going back to just one family was really good to keeping my roots as a UW-Madison student and not a full-time dog walker.
You know, you have majors basically that are really detached from that side hustle. So while it's like a hobby and it's fun, do you think it's going to take you like in a different avenue than you thought you would have pursued in your career before? Like, do you think that dog walking has somehow influenced certain choices you'll make for yourself in the future?
I think for me, because my major is animal science and I intend to go into, like, pre-veterinary stuff, it doesn't really deter me. It just expands on what I want to do. I also work at, like, a veterinary clinic with cats and dogs. So I guess I see them all the time and it's wonderful and I never get sick of it. I think it just really helps what I want to do rather than kind of deters me from my original plan.
I say it's wouldn't deter me, but it changed my plans. I, being a criminal justice certificate, have to take a criminal justice internship, and I was going to be super flexible, go all out, FBI, up in Washington, New York. I was going to go anywhere, and with the family that I have, I caretake and love them so much that I have put aside to just staying in Madison. And those options here are really great, considering that it's the capital. A lot of criminal justice internships are still here, but I'm just keeping my mind simply in Madison instead of going as far out as I could. So it definitely has changed things.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about too, how much I wouldn't say how much less flexibility you have, because obviously having that side hustle opens up all sorts of doors for you to be able to go out and do things and kind of work on your own timeline. But I think that there's a loss kind of in flexibility in terms of where you're actually able to go, especially as some of us are like, Mackenzie, you're a small business owner too, so I know you probably relate to this, but Like, when you have a small business and you're not super well known in places other than where you grew up, sometimes even the transition to Madison can be hard because a lot of how you get your business is word of mouth. You talk to people that are happy, happy with what you did for them in terms of work, and they might write a review on your Facebook page that pops up on their friend's page, and that's kind of how your business grows and flourishes. So I totally understand how it can be kind of limiting at the same time. I'm experiencing that a little bit too as I kind of look into potentially moving halfway across the country for grad school in a couple years. So, Kenzie, are you experiencing, like, I don't know if this is something that really pertains to kind of your transition to college, but you started your small business in high school, right?
Correct.
So when you transitioned to college, was that tough?
It definitely was. I think majority of my commissions came from friends and family. So coming to college, it was a huge culture shock, first of all, because Madison is so much bigger than my hometown. But also, like you said, word of mouth is, well, it seems it should be easier here with the amount of people. I think it's a lot harder because you don't know anybody. So I joined like photography club at one point, maybe to get word of mouth out there. Didn't really go very well, but that's okay. So I kind of sat back for a while and I haven't done any sessions in a good amount of time. Just kind of doing my own thing. But I think another problem comes in is, like, if you want to pursue this full time, and I have other photographer friends who had this problem, how do you make that shift? And potentially, you know, you can't fall back on it if it doesn't work out. So, you know, if you don't want to do school and you want to go into photography or a small business, what happens when it doesn't work out?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's a very real fear too, because I know when I kind of started this and transitioned into this being the main thing that I am starting to do, I mean, I still work a couple different jobs, but focusing mainly on like my creative agency and how I'm able to develop that small business. But, you know, having your major and having that diploma at the end of the day is one of the most important things you can do for yourself as a college student to make sure you're successful in that regard, so that you do have something to fall back on. But, you know, they don't teach you how to be a small business owner while you are in college. And that's something that I think that we really are missing out on, and something that AWA, I think, has been able to supplement for all of us and to kind of, you know, all of us inherently, I think, in the ag industry have a little bit of an edge because we just have such a dedication to what we love. We know how to turn our passion into something that is profitable, you know, it's productive. So I think having that community of ag women on campus to, you know, light your fire and make sure that you're taking that drive that you have within yourself and transforming that into something tangible is really cool to see.
And speaking of using AWA and like agricultural community as helpers and like kind of getting us through things, Kenzie has definitely helped me on answering questions about random things, dogs or cats that I have seen. I may be an agribusiness management student, but all I took was Animal Science 101, and literally, I don't know anything, and Kenzie has helped me so much.
So she literally texts me, like, a picture of a dog's bump, and will say, "What is this? I didn't see it before," or, "Why is he breathing funny after this walk?" I'm like, you know, I do work in the vet field, but I am not a vet yet, so.
Do you walk any pugs?
I do not. I may have walked one pug, and I'm very sorry, I'm not a small dog fan. I try as I best to stay with the large dogs that can go for runs, that can go a little bit longer, but they still have scary things that I have to ask Kenzie about too.
I walked a St. Bernard once, that was fun.
Oh, they're pretty. Gosh. I'm partial to, like, well, big and small dogs. Mm-hmm. We need, like, I'm trying to convince my mom right now that we need a mid-sized dog because we've got the really short one and the really tall one, so.
So, like, you in photography, do you, Kenzie and Liv, do you have someone that you go to? Like, I have a lot of animal science questions. I'm surrounded by agriculture, but who do you go to for photography?
YouTube. To be completely honest, like, there's so many great resources out there. And especially if you are on social media at all and have ever Googled a question about photography, like, that was me a lot when I first started, was, what lenses should I be looking at getting? Like, you know a little bit about it, but that's part of starting. And, you know, there was this kind of fear in the back of my mind that, you know, when you start, like, you don't know a lot, so you have to kind of just always be seeking that knowledge and always looking to learn more. So honestly, the internet has been a great resource to learn from people who have had a lot of success, whether that be in their business strategy, how they structure their business, what software they're using, you know, like there's all these behind the scenes things that you don't think about. Like, you might be really talented at taking photos, but like me, you cannot write an invoice or a contract to save your soul. So you need a software program to do that for you. Yeah, like just having that kind of knowledge base, I think, is really beneficial. But also, like, having some local people that you can reach out to, or even there's a couple people that have asked me to second shoot weddings for them. And I haven't really been able to do that because I don't do a lot of wedding photography. My focus is kind of elsewhere because a lot of my weekends are eaten up at jackpot shows. I travel a lot on the weekends too. But, you know, just having kind of those local people that you can always just shoot a Facebook message to, that's really helpful.
Not gonna lie, I really don't have any local connections. So, like Liv said, I do reference the internet a lot. And I found that Facebook groups are super helpful. So I'm in, like, beginner photography groups. I'm in experienced photographer groups. And some, like, specific ones, like equine photography and stuff like that, because they are more specific to kind of what I do for fun. But they even know a lot about, like, portrait photography if I had questions on that. So I guess, yeah, to answer your question, going off of connections, honestly, I don't really have anybody here. But the internet is a wonderful resource.
I guess that's beneficial for me as a business management student, because I do know a lot about invoices. If you want any help, Liv, I can help you with that. Accounting 100 for slightly dumb people is really helpful at the moment.
Maybe I need to take accounting 100. Yeah. No, it's definitely beneficial to have, like, in-person connections too. I work with a couple other people that are, like, small business owners, and sometimes you feel kind of not the brightest asking questions about, okay, this is what I'm currently doing for my invoices. This is what I'm doing for my contracts. What should I be doing? Like, asking those questions, that's how you learn. Like, sometimes, like, trial and error, yeah, you need to do that. That's on the creative side, in my opinion. The business side should not be trial and error. You should not try something if you do not know if it's going to work when you are running your business, because you are a college student and there's just that financial strain there anyway. Like, you don't have a lot of flex money that you can move around in your business. So I really like to ask questions in that department, because honestly, just covering my butt, that's what I'm after when I ask those questions.
So would you two both say that your side hustles are professional enough that you have contracts, both of you?
I'm not that professional. I consider myself an amateur yet. I do have contracts to cover my butt, because most people I shoot are, like, over 18, so I have them sign something in case, you know, payment goes wrong or anything like that, and to just cover liability of all my equipment and stuff like that. But I would not consider myself professional yet. Maybe you do, Liv. You definitely should.
I think I'm in that awkward little zone right now where I'm definitely, like, I have contracts. I have a setup to do it full time if I really wanted to. But as a college student, that's obviously not feasible. So I wouldn't say I'm a professional photographer by any means, just because I don't have the capability to do it full time and really, really hone my skills that way. But I do definitely think that I devote enough of my time to it to be considered semi-professional. I mean, this past calendar year, I've been in 3-4 different states shooting livestock shows. And that those experiences in and of themselves, when you're just doing the same kind of photography day in and day out for several days at a time. One show I was at, I was shooting for 17 days straight, and the shutter count I put on my camera was absolutely ridiculous. But having that level of repetition and just honing your craft that way, those experiences for me have really just given me the confidence to be able to approach different groups of people and say, hey, just to put a bug in your ear, like, I do this. This is kind of my small business right now, and I'm looking to grow it. So if you ever want to keep me in mind for the future, I'm definitely at a place right now where I'm comfortable doing that.
Another question I kind of had for you guys was, you know, you talk about groups of people and catering towards certain audiences. even in dog walking, what do you do when there's somebody who doesn't exactly fit your written script in your head and maybe has a more negative outlook on what you're doing? So would you say communication is a big factor?
Definitely. With the family I have now, we're back and forth, and like, I think I'm pretty okay with understanding how people text, but that is our form of communication, and I try to keep it professional, but then also their dogs have kind of become like a family to me. So do I use an emoji? Do I put a little smiley face in there? So like, the communication is slightly, there's a barrier there. I don't know, as a 20-year-old person, how I should be speaking to these 40, 50-year-old dog parents. So communication between everyone obviously is going to work in all of the businesses that we're involved in.
Yeah, and I think the communication thing is just something that has to be learned across the board, no matter what avenue you pursue as your side hustle or even like your real job. In your real work environment, it seems like, at least in my experience, my personal experience, it seems like email is the preferred method of communication. When you are a small business and you have like a social media account, the boundaries you kind of have to create for yourself are somewhat different. And a lot of times you struggle to make those, because when someone shoots you an Instagram message, that's not necessarily my preferred way to be communicated with, but you can't like drop the lead. You can't not respond to them for 3 days because they sent you an Instagram message instead of filling out the contact form that is in 8 different places on your website. So it's something that I struggle with, just knowing where to draw the line and when I want to kind of take back my personal life and be able to be on social media without having to be in work mode and think and microanalyze every single thing I post, how I respond to every single message. That's, you know, that's tough. And I think it's something that I'm still working on and still learning. So
you said work mode, and that's another thing we kind of talked about, like right at the beginning. We are all in work mode all of the time, especially with our side hustles. And sometimes I just don't know how to turn it off. I don't know if you guys have the same problem, but doing all these things at the same time, it's just like work, work.
Yeah, I don't think you can turn it off. Sometimes it's just how you're wired, honestly. I think that there are so many of us that seek validation and being productive. I know myself, it's not necessarily a bad thing because you are classified as a hard worker for doing that, but you seek validation in your work and you pour your heart and soul into it. A lot of times how you end up working in that environment too, you end up doing something you love because you don't want to pour your heart and soul into a job that you do not like. So, work mode, and I think there's a distinct difference too between being in work mode and being in productive work mode, if that makes sense. Not quite sure, but I think that for me, when I'm sitting down at my computer and I'm like working, a lot of that is me having Hulu going in the background and I'm watching certain TV shows, or I'm doing kind of a couple different things at once, maybe online shopping, don't tell my mom, but it's something that it takes a lot of practice to be able to sit down at your computer for 3 to 4 hours and actually work the whole time.
So going from work mode from your type to mine is a little bit different. I go from a on-campus job wearing a blouse, jeans, something a little bit more professional looking, to going to walk, 2 dogs, high energy. I probably need to put on some like athletic wear. And that work mode difference for me is like, it's the scheduling aspect. And that isn't typically seen in my little side hustle area, is that I'm the management. I'm making sure that I'm getting paid, making sure I have the time, making sure that these dogs are basically being taken care of on the walk. And that is the biggest portion, is the scheduling part. And I guess that's really weird for me coming into it, is, oh, I'm just a dog walker. And I think that's kind of the issue.
Yeah, kind of shifting gears here. Kenzie, I think what you do with horses is really interesting because I don't get a lot of exposure to that. Like, obviously, livestock and horses go hand in hand a lot of times in terms of the type of people you work with. But I don't, like, I didn't grow up around horses. I think I've ridden a horse maybe once in my life. So what is your favorite part, I guess, about being involved in, like, equine photography?
I think one of the biggest things is that while horses are considered livestock in most areas, they're also just, you know, companion animals. And I love catching the bond between horses and riders, or, you know, just someone that owns a horse, especially if you can't ride it and it's just something, you know, an animal that you have. I think it's really fun to just see it because, not to be a horse girl, but, like, they're beautiful, strong animals that, you know, represent a lot of things. I just really like capturing that in an image because it's often not able to be captured in an image, and you want to see it in person while they're running, you know. They just look like they're majestic. I think it is kind of hard, especially in, like, livestock photos, because there's so many different aspects of that photo that you need to get perfect. And, you know, one thing that comes to mind for horses is their ears up. If they have their ears back, they look so dumb. But, like, you know, you want to capture what that animal is and even their personality sometimes. So I just love catching bonds and the animal as a whole in that image.
Yeah, I think that I can relate to you so much just on the ear thing. That's a huge thing for cattle, but livestock photography is just, it's kind of its own separate entity, I would say. It's so separate from every other kind of photography, even equine photography, in the sense of you have to make sure that not only does the exhibitor look good, but the animal looks good. So that's kind of the important part of the image. So for me, like, as I've grown, I really used to focus on cute kids. Like, if cute kids are showing good livestock, I want to take pictures of them and make sure that the kid looks really good. Now I've transitioned into this mode where my first focus always is what the pig looks like, what the cow looks like. Especially in pigs. Pigs are so hard to shoot because you have to make sure that you catch them in stride. I'm not sure if anyone listening to this knows or has exhibited swine in the past, but catching pigs in stride is something that takes a lot of practice to know when they're going to set that back leg down and anticipate that moment, and also make sure that through your lens, you're framing that image correctly. You're not cutting off the kid's head, not figuratively, not literally, but it takes a lot of practice, and it's something that is just an art form of its own.
So I know Kenzie as a horse girl, and showing helps her with taking pictures. Liv, would you say that your background made sure that your specific animals that you shoot really helps you with knowing, like, the background and showing?
Yeah, I think that, so I grew up showing dairy heifers and then also sheep. So I have a pretty strong background, a good sense of how the flow of the ring works. There's just a lot of logistics in terms of where you need to stand as you're walking about the ring, that level of awareness you need to have to make sure that you're not getting in anyone's way, especially the judges, and just kind of being, like, in the background. Essentially, you should be invisible to everyone except the person standing in front of you. So for me, having that background growing up showing, it's been super helpful for me to have that sense of ring awareness, also knowing what stock is good livestock. Those super cool shots you see of people getting handshakes, they get the slaps. That's stuff that's hard to anticipate if you don't have an eye for livestock. So I can't say that I know what good pigs look like because that's something that is completely out of my wheelhouse. But I definitely think that I'm very capable of picking out really good livestock and knowing kind of when those moments are going to happen. So that in and of itself makes for a really great opportunity to catch good photos, because those are probably my favorite photos to take, is those reaction photos. When you see people's families and how excited they are when they get a big win. So yeah, I mean, growing up showing definitely taught me a lot of things. How to shoot livestock was not one of them, but it has taught me so much that helps me in that pursuit.
Is there a specific photo that comes to mind when you say, like, you know, they have these little moments in the show ring, you know, that you love?
Oh, gosh. I think my favorite photo I've taken, I took in Denver this year, and it is after a little boy was reserved with his mini Hereford steer, and he was wearing this cowboy hat. And I said to my friend who was shooting in the ring with me, I'm like, if that little boy puts that cowboy hat on that Hereford, I will lose it. And what do you know? It was like I manifested it. I did not have to ask. I jumped over a gate literally to get this picture because his mom was standing in front of him laughing, and this little boy had put his cowboy hat on his steer and was sitting there scratching him because he was so excited that he did well with his steer. So, you know, I can probably link the photo in the show notes, but it's the cutest photo I think I've ever taken. And I've taken a lot of photos, so that's the one that comes to mind first.
Do you have a particular photo in mind, Kenzie, for horses that you think really showcases them well?
I don't know about showcases horses well, but in terms of little moments like we were talking about, I have a picture of a little girl, and there was like a lead line class, which means their parent or guardian has to walk them on a lead rope during the class. And she has this big number on her back to show, and she's on this horse. It's a gypsy vanner, if you know what that is. If you don't, look it up. They're beautiful. And her family is surrounding her as she walks out of like the barn doors, and it's from the back. So all you see is this big number and like her family's hands on the horse and on her and smiling. And it's just really cute. In terms of like capturing the horse, haven't done a ton other than my own horse, who I think is a beautiful horse, but probably doesn't.
Can confirm he's beautiful.
So he probably doesn't represent like a lot of what a horse beauty standard is, I guess.
Sorry, we had to take a break because I needed to show everyone in the room right now that picture of the Hereford steer and the cowboy hat. It is phenomenal, and I think I'm just going to link it in the show notes. So please, please go check it out. I promise you will not be disappointed. It is adorable. So the last thing before we wrap up here that we kind of wanted to talk about was work-life balance, because I know that's something that myself as a college student, I've struggled with it a lot. And I also know like a lot of people that are several years into their career that still struggle with that. So just kind of different things that we've all found out that help with work-life balance. We're just kind of going to talk a little bit about tips and tricks, I guess, if you will.
As my mom says, I have too many irons in the fire. And I like to stay busy. I don't like not having something to do. So I'm really still working on that work-life balance. Like I have two jobs on campus and then, you know, full-time student here, as well as these side hustles that we've all mentioned. And I think one thing that I've really struggled with is just prioritizing things. So while those side hustles are super helpful in terms of like finances and just mental health even, it's sometimes you'd have to sit back and be like, all right, I really have to do this like homework assignment first. And then if I want to, I can go, you know, do some art, or I can go walk a dog for fun. So I think prioritizing is probably one of my biggest issues that I think is super helpful.
And prioritization for me, that works out in a Google Calendar. And as much as I try to get Kenzie on the Google Calendar and try to get her to love it as much as I do, that is my biggest thing. And scheduling, like obviously Google Calendar helps with that too. And I would not be doing what I hope to be doing this summer, which is two different jobs, one internship, one on campus, and then also dog walking and helping out with AWA where I can. I wouldn't be able to possibly do that without knowing my schedule back in front, like back of my hand, and having that with me constantly so that I can look ahead and see where exactly I am in the work-life balance. Right now, work is 95 to life is about 5, but we're trying our best.
As you were talking about that, Jaden, I pulled up my calendar because the most life-changing thing for me, I think, to create kind of a better work-life balance is Apple calendars and then also desktop Outlook. If you do not have that app, you need to download it right now. You should have had it downloaded like a couple months ago because it is life-changing, I swear. Being able to have like 5 different inboxes on your desktop, that super helps, especially if you work several different jobs like all of us that have too many irons in the fire. And then also being able to block off time for yourself in your calendar to just have free time. I think that's a really big part of it. And in that free time, a lot of the time I do catch myself just working on stuff or going back through looking at old photos and giving myself small critiques. But I think being able to block out time just for yourself to go and do something, get some fresh air, maybe take a walk, go to the gym, having that time for me, and Kenzie probably for you also, prevents that creative burnout, or just burnout in general. As you know, life as a college student isn't exactly something that's easy or something that I would want to do for the rest of my life, because it's pretty demanding in terms of the academic side. So having that ability to just take a step back every once in a while and say, hey, like, we need to just settle for a minute and be totally content sitting still. That's something that I struggle with, but something that I'm learning how to do.
You say that as we all plan to go on to extra school at some point.
Yes, pretty much. Not to say that it's not an exciting life change. As we kind of start thinking about it now, all of us are juniors and we've all been in AWA since our freshman year. So it's been super great to see how far you both have come with your own little side hustles. I know it's something that I take a lot of pride in, being able to say that, like, yes, I have my own LLC. Having that piece of paper is pretty cool. So it's something that I love to talk about and I think is so important to talk about in supporting other people in that entrepreneurial mindset.
It's definitely just fun to watch everybody grow. You know, even in high school or younger and then college, you have all these friends and you kind of watch them go their own paths and it's not originally what they wanted to do or maybe not what you thought they were going to do. And it's just fun to have that support and watch them flourish.
And I think that that's all that we have for today. So thank you again to Jaden and Kenzie and May, who's sitting over in our room right now, for being with us today. And then also all of you for tuning in for our second episode here. So stay tuned for some more unique conversations. We're hoping to get in touch with a couple industry professionals and start talking about, you know, all of the hot topics in ag right now. So thank you. And this is Liv,
Kenzie,
and Jaden,
and May.
Signing off. To learn more about AWA, visit our website at awamadison.org. You can also visit us on Instagram at awa_UWMadison. And to reach out to us via email, awapublicrelations@gmail.com.